Let's just do a little bit in motivation. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Why did Katie go, and why do we want others going more and more often? Why do we want to have more people go on missions trips? We've talked about passport parties. We've talked about trying to get people prepared for it. Why do we want you to go? There is an internal motivation for every believer that we want to speak the word of God to somebody else. This is so good, what the Lord has done in our heart, what He has done in setting us free and giving us life, that we want others to know about it too, especially those we love. But that's not just those we love. It's as our Egyptian friend does. He's going all kinds of places to people he doesn't even know, that he can share the good news of Jesus Christ with him. The motivation that's in each of our hearts to share that good news of Jesus Christ, it can be with our neighbor here, or it can be in Peru, it can be in Bangladesh, it can be anywhere. We want the gospel to go. Acts chapter 16, we see some Paul talking once again. We looked last week at the first five verses. Let's look at verses 6 and following for a little bit here. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, we're not told any more than that. We don't know how that worked. We don't know what it was the Holy Spirit said to them. But whatever it was, they were not permitted to go there, at least at that time. Now, we see this. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go through Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them once again. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is one of the evidences of what's known as a missionary call. When people talk about a missionary call, this is one of those passages that's used to show that there are missionary calls. Paul concluded that this individual that he saw in his vision there was asking him to come to Macedonia. He concluded that was from the Lord, that he was to go to Macedonia there. If you would, go on with me. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. We were staying in that city for some days. I want you to stop just a minute before we go any further. Paul, having concluded they were supposed to go to Macedonia, look at the places he's passing up before he finally comes to a place. He's going from Samothrace to Neapolis. Now he's going to land at Philippi. That's going to be the place he stops. And he stops there for several days. What was he doing in those several days? There's a good evidence that what Paul did in many places was, first of all, he was a tent maker. So he'd go set up a place for him to be making a tent. This was another place where Roman soldiers were going to be, and Roman soldiers are always needing tents. So he made tents for the Roman army. So while he's there, he's going to seek to see what's going on. So one of the first things Paul always did was look for a synagogue. He did not find a synagogue in Philippi. Now, he didn't find a synagogue in Philippi because in order to have a synagogue, you have to have at least 20 men living in that community, 20 Jewish men. There were not 20 Jewish men living in this community, so Paul did not find a synagogue there. But when there is not a synagogue, there is a given rule that what you do is you find a place outside the city. You find a place where there's a water supply nearby. You find some trees, whatever you can find to have a place there. Now, if you would, with that in mind, let's go to verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, note this. What were the women doing there? They're praying. They are not studying the Word of God. They are not looking at the Word of God. They are praying. And one of the things that it's often noted that synagogue women prayed for was that there'd be enough men to come that they could have a synagogue. And they could be taught the Word of God. Now, because you are Americans, because you've been brought up in the church, you find that, let's just ask this. How many of women have your own Bible? I'll get to see that in just a second. Is that fantastic? You have your own Bible. Now, that seems no big deal. But you must remember, in this particular society, The women were always on one side of the synagogue, and they listened as the man spoke. They were not teachers and could not teach. If they were going to hear the word of God, they heard it from the men's side of the synagogue. The men would talk very openly and freely. There was always someone who was a preacher. It was a moderator of that meeting. And at the synagogue meeting, with the women sitting on this side, the men sitting on this side, the moderator would read a passage of Scripture. Then everyone would speak freely and openly about that passage of Scripture. If there was a guest present in the synagogue, that guest was free to stand up. Matter of fact, several times the guests would go over and stand against that wall, indicating that they had something they wanted to read. If you remember, our Lord Jesus Christ was in the synagogue, and he stood to read. And they recognized him and asked him, "What passage would you like to read?" And he read the passage from Isaiah 61 that said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." To preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, to bring a healing to those that are blind. That was what Jesus, that was normal operations in a synagogue. Things went back and forth like that. There were sometimes some pretty good exchanges that took place in a synagogue over the passage of Scripture. But the women were not free to study the Word. They didn't have the Word for them to study. So what the women were doing was praying there in the riverside, often asking God not only to bless them, but to bring them enough individuals they could have their own synagogue so they could be learning the Word of God once again. Now, if you would, we sat down and spoke to the women who met there, Paul says. So these fellows that were traveling with Paul sat down. They spoke to the women. Now, look what it says to us further. "Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." Now, I wanted to share this with you once again. The Word of God, to find effect in people's lives, must be accompanied by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is what opens people's hearts that they might understand the things that are being read. If you remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that the natural man does not receive the things of God. But the Spirit of God opens them up and reveals them to us so that we begin to understand the things of the Word of God. It's not simply an intellectual discussion. Now, let me tell you why that's important. Because God can open the spirit of a child just as easily as he can open the spirit of an adult. You may think that there are children who can't grasp intellectually what's going on, but I tell you that the Spirit of God can open a child's heart to understand the things of God just as quickly as he can an adult. In some situations, as our Lord said, "Bring the little children to me. Don't keep them from me. Let them learn from me also." That's why we have Awana. That's why we do Sunday school. That's why we have good news clubs. We get the opportunity to have good. That's why. Because God opens the hearts of children. But in this particular situation, he's opened Lydia's heart. And Lydia is getting to hear the Word of God. And not just the Old Testament. That the Old Testament illuminated now by the message that there is a Messiah that has already come. The Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament has now come. And that Messiah, Jesus is his name, had died on a cross to pay for her sins. And dying on the cross to pay for his sins, was raised again the third day. And being raised again from the third day, he has a kingdom promised to him. And that kingdom would be something that was given to anyone who would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that's what he said? Because Paul said that over and over again in 1 Corinthians 15. In the many places that he went where he shared, "This was what I shared with you. This is what I told you. This is the gospel that I gave to you." Well, seeing that she had received these things now because the Lord had opened her heart, verse 15 tells us, "And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Now note this. When she and her household were baptized. Brothers and sisters, this is the thing that always goes on in the Scriptures. When a person is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, their indication of faith and understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ is followed by believer's baptism. That's not how they get saved. It's because they are saved. They do that to indicate their identity with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that identifies people with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the initiation, if you would, the initiation ritual that takes place that lets people know that publicly I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in the Messianic community. I'm one of those who believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And this is how I enter that kingdom, that whole Messianic community. When she was baptized, notice the change that takes place in her heart. It says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And so she persuaded us. When people's hearts turn to the Lord, there are three things that happen. Always remember this, okay? This is the three evidences of a believer. One, they have faith that Jesus is the Christ. So, faith. Two, they also have hope. They have hope for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, that's not simply intellectually received. That is something that the Spirit of God gives to you. We sang a song this morning. And not sure if we sang it with all the meaning and understanding. We sang the song, "Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul." The writer was John W. Peterson. We knew his brother, Kenny, who was a pastor in Kansas. Kenny often would share with us, remembering what he and his brother talked about on many occasions as they had opportunity to pin down some songs together and talk over the songs that John was writing. And that song is all about the entry of the Spirit of God into your life. That's what separates believers from everybody else. It's not just that we have signed on to a group of statements that are made about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a process that takes place in us in which the person is born again. It is the Spirit who gives us the gift of faith. With that gift of faith, we are born again. A change takes place in us. The old man in us that was that sin generator is crucified. And the Spirit of God creates in us a new man. A man that is created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is created in the image of righteousness and true holiness. It is a new person that's created inside you. You are not simply signing on to a group of ideas about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a literal change that's taking place in you. And that change brings about in you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a convincing by the Spirit of God that Jesus is the Christ. It brings about you this hope of who Jesus Christ is, that He's coming back again. The hope of the resurrection. The hope of everlasting life. It's a confidence. We use the word hope sometimes as a kind of wishful thinking. That's not the way the Scriptures use hope. It uses hope as a confidence that is given to you that you are going to be in heaven. A confidence that's given to you that you are going to be worshiping Lord Jesus Christ and that you are going to see Him come again. It's a confidence that's given to you. So there's faith, there's hope, and then this third part. There's always love for the saints. Always a love for the saints. That's not something they create. That's something that's created in them by that born-again experience. It's given to them. And I want you to notice how quickly then that this lady, after she and her family are baptized, it says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." There she's already beginning to express the love that she has for those who bring the message of Jesus Christ. She's already expressing love for the brethren, and there aren't any other brethren. She is the brethren at this point. She's it. But there are going to be more brethren, because when she's asked them to stay at the house, her house is going to become the, if I can say it this way, education central for Philippi. That's where people are going to come and they're going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They're going to hear the gospel spoken at her house. She's going to make her house into a house church. And Paul's going to be the missionary pastor for that church. Well, that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. We'll do some more next week. But I appreciate very much Katie being moved by the Spirit of God to go to Peru to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. I appreciate the way that God has worked in other lives here. There are a number of you who've already said, "I want to go someplace. I want to share the good news of Jesus Christ." I am so grateful for what God is doing in your lives at that point. That's why we want to keep missions as the mission of this church. It's what we're about. It is taking the good news of Jesus Christ. If we're not doing that, we're not fulfilling what God wanted us to do. All right? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, indeed, I thank you and I praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the moving of the Spirit of God. We recognize sometimes, Father, that we're not seeing the Spirit of God in quite the way that He was meant to be seen from the New Testament. We know the Spirit of God lives in us. And we know that the Spirit of God is calling us right now to be those who share the good news of Jesus Christ, to be those of faith, of hope, and of love. Teach us how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Teach us how to listen and follow that voice everywhere. We're going to thank you and praise you for it all just now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Would you please pray with us again that God will raise up people to be in this field. Speak to people all the time. As you know, we put up a sign out here to remind you that when you leave here, you're going directly into the mission field. Keep your eye open. Keep praying that God will give you divine opportunities that you can go ahead and speak the word of God freely and openly with anybody you get a chance to talk to. If you need some tracts or something like that to help you out, we'll give you anything you want. We've got some cute tracts. We've got some clever tracts. We've got some conversation starters if you want those. Some we call icebreakers. We have other tracts that Miss Millie brings to us on a regular basis. Good, solid tracts that will show you. Just if someone take that track and read it, they'll understand the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Spirit of God's working on them. All right. Until then, God bless you. We'll look to see you on Wednesday night. Again, we're at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. And we're going to look over for this coming semester here at the adult Bible study. While Awana's going on, we're going to look at the truth. We're just going to simply call it the truth. We're going to call it the truth about. But we're going to talk about the importance of truth, why we need to be telling the truth, and why the truth is so important. There are many stories out today, but we need to know the truth. So you come Wednesday night, we'll start talking about the truth. All right? We'll see you then on Wednesday night.